So because this is a Thanksgiving service, I thought I would tell you my favourite joke about saying thank you. Many of you may well have heard this before. An atheist was taking a walk through the woods. "What majestic trees! What powerful rivers! What beautiful animals!" he said to himself. As he continued walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes. Turning to look, he saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He ran as fast as he could in the opposite direction. Looking over his shoulder, he saw that the bear was closing in on him. His heart was pumping frantically, and he tried to run even faster. He tripped and fell to the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but saw the bear raising his paw to take a swipe at him. At that instant, the atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest went silent. It was then that a bright light shone upon the man and a voice came out of the sky saying, "You have denied my existence all of these years. Teach others I don't exist and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light. "It would be hypocritical of me now to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian," he said. "But perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear lowered his paw, bowed his head and said, "Lord, for what I am about to receive, may you make me truly thankful." It's one of my favourite jokes, that one. If you want to have your Bibles open, I think it was page 180. It's quite early on in the Bible. So this was from a time before Israel had any kings. It was generally a pretty lawless place. And in our reading this morning, we heard about a woman, verse 2, who was childless. A woman who was visited by an angel who announced that she would give birth to a son who would save God's people. No, you haven't slept 4 months to Christmas. This is how Samson was born. A super strong but troubled hero of Samson and Delilah fame. All that's to come. For now, the focus is on his parents, specifically his mother. And unfortunately, we'll have to refer to her as Samson's mother or Manoah's wife because we're not told what her name is. Despite being the hero of the story, she's referred to as a woman 4 times and as wife 11 times. Why not give us her name? We know Manoah's name after all. It would have been easy for the writer to give us her name too. Now my first thought was, these events happened something like 3,500 years ago. Back then society was even more patriarchal than it is today. Most women still take their husband's surname when they get married. But back then it was even more than that. They were mostly known and defined by their relationships to the men in their lives. So they were someone's daughter, someone's wife, or someone's mother. Only a few were known in their own right. And actually, one of the women who is known in her own right in the Bible is a lady called Deborah. And she appears in Judges chapter 4 and 5, just 8 chapters before this story. She was described first as a prophet and then as the wife of Lapidoth, about whom we hear nothing else. So perhaps the writer of this book isn't quite as chauvinistic as we might assume at first. Perhaps there's something else going on, and I think the link to Jesus' birth story might help us figure it out. You see, when the writer sets the scene, he or she makes sure we know that Manoah's wife can't have children. If you have a look in verse 2, she's described as childless, unable to give birth. And then the angel says immediately, "You are barren or sterile and childless." 4 times, we're told. It wasn't that they didn't have children yet, they couldn't have children. And those few words give just a tiny glimpse of the pain that woman must have been in. Some of you will understand that far better than I. She would have been something of an outcast in those days. As I said, women were known by their relationships, and the key one was mother. The whispers were probably going around the village, she must have done something wrong for God to stop her up like that so she can't have kids. But that wasn't true. In fact, it's never true. God is not like that. He never has been, and he never will be. He doesn't punish people like that. For Manoah's wife, the angel's words must have hurt. Until the angel said the most wonderful word I suspect she'd heard in a long time, there in verse 3. You were barren and childless, but. That desperate and hopeless situation was not a problem for God. Exactly like Mary being a virgin wasn't a problem for God. Exactly like the world being formless and empty in Genesis 1 verse 1 wasn't a problem for God. I could go on. There's all sorts of examples in the Bible. On the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Jesus told two of his friends what the Old Testament said about him. And I think this is one of the things he would have said. You see, God specialises in working with nothing. With obscurity. With helplessness. With people at the end of their energy and ability. God specialises in working with nothing. And friends, this is good news. In fact, this is great news. Do you remember, I don't know if this was your experience of school, when on a sports lesson, the teacher would pick two captains. And then they would proceed to pick the rest of the class alternately for their teams. Do you remember? Did that happen when you were at school?
Yes.
Hands up if you were the last person to get picked. Very often. They'd go for their friends first, wouldn't they? Or the people who played in the school team. And then there'd be sort of half a dozen of us left. And they'd be forced to pick us because everyone had to get picked. But you know, really, they'd rather we just sat it out. Because we'd be more of a hindrance than a help for their team. That's not how God works. I think sometimes we think it is. That he's going to pick the best and the brightest first, and then the dregs, those of us who are the dregs, are left until last. That is not how God works. In fact, usually in the Bible, God picks the dregs first. People like Samson was born. He was born to Manoah and this unknown lady. They were nothing special. They were just an ordinary couple. In fact, as the story we heard, they were pretty, well, not the brightest pick, were they? Throughout the Bible, we have story after story of God choosing people who were hopeless and helpless. Abraham, a childless octogenarian, to be the father of his people. David, a shepherd, to be the king of his people. Countless barren and unmarried women. This lady, Hannah, Sarah. The list goes on of people in the Bible whom God has taken and done something through them. Weak and pathetic losers. There's the story of Gideon just a few verses, few chapters before this. He was pathetic. He literally hid from God because he was scared. But God turned him into an incredible general. He even calls people who struggle with depression and anxiety to be vicars. Friends, this is good news. Because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on him. It's not about what we bring to the party. It's about what God can do with nothing. And this is why I think the woman isn't named. Manoah comes across, as I said, as a few cards short of a deck. A few fries short of a happy meal. That plastic thingy short of a six pack. A lift that doesn't go all the way to the top. You carry on. I don't know. A dog collar short of a vicar. You get my meaning. But the woman, she listens to the angel. And she lives faithfully by what the angel tells her. She patiently explains things to her husband. I get a sense from this little brief glimpse that she was quite a patient lady. And she very sensibly explains that right at the end there, where Manoah thinks they're going to die, she very patiently explains to him, well, of course we're not going to die. God's just told us we're going to have a baby. So why is he going to kill us now? In the eyes of the world, she was good for nothing, barren and childless. But that was and is no problem for God. And for me, I think this woman is one of the heroes of the Bible. All the more so because she's so normal. She doesn't actually do anything spectacular. That's down to her son. Samson does some pretty incredible things. This lady, she wasn't from a special family. In fact, this clan, we've never heard of them before. The region of Dan was way up in the north of Israel. Way up in the north of Israel, the back of beyond. These were not special people. She hadn't had any special training. She was just an ordinary lady married to a farm labourer. And yet, she lived a faithful life. She listened to God and she followed him. That, I think, is the greatest miracle. It's amazing that God gave her a child. But that act of daily obedience, I think, is the greater miracle here. The stuff Samson did was pretty special. But for me, this is the greatest miracle. A woman who listened to God and lived faithfully. This little mini-series, today is the last Sunday of our little mini-series, which it's been about people who are anonymous. Oh, look at that. We'll find out what that is in a minute. About people who are anonymous, but not nothing. We've called it Anon, but not a non. It makes more sense when you see it written down, perhaps. And as I said last week, it's my prayer that actually all of us might be anonymous to history, like Manoah's wife, but known to God as women and men of faithfulness. Women and men who listen to God and follow him every day and in every way. That is my prayer. So let's pray that together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lady and for her faithful life. Thank you for the example that she gives to us today. And I pray you'd help each one of us to hear it and be inspired by it. Help us to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, with all our hearts, every day and in every way. Amen.